96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We were supposed to have Minister of Economic Affairs Michael Halkidis today to talk about the new real property tax collection thrust that they got going on, which I gained a great understanding of yesterday. Just so happens that they have the church service for parliamentarians. They just haven't done it. It's almost February. But they have the church service for parliamentarians this morning. And then Halkidis is traveling tomorrow, so we're shooting for Monday to have him here. You're going to want to hear what he has to say. It may impact a number of you. Plus, you're going to want to understand more clearly what is going on with the revenue thrust in the government. So, in the absence of having Mr. Halkidis here, we're just going to talk about some national events. Now, here's the thing. I got to talk about National Review. I got to talk about what's in it. And I'm going to preface it by saying something I don't necessarily need to say, which is that I want the Davis administration to do well. I want Philip Brave Davis to be a good prime minister. I want his administration to achieve great things. I want his cabinet ministers to make a marked difference in the lives of as many Bahamians as is humanly possible. However, that's not going to be possible if they can't coordinate what they're doing in a reasonable fashion. And so the smallest things that you let slide and mess up and trip you up, and things that you let resurface in the news cycle that don't need to resurface, that's going to signal to me whether you really got your stuff together. So, I want them to do well. We're coming out of a pandemic. We got a high level of unemployment still. Our economy is still not where it needs to be. We got a healthcare system that we're trying to make the best of. We got schools that need to reopen. I want you guys to do well, but we're not going to do well if you can't coordinate amongst yourself the smallest things. It makes me wonder about the big things. So today's lead piece in National Review is called Alternative Facts. Is Darvill seeking to gaslight us? This says, Minister of Health, and this is by Candia Ames, Guardian Executive Editor, Minister of Health and Wellness, Dr. Michael Darvill, must think members of the media are a special kind of stupid. For sure, there are times we do mess up. There are times when we are obligated to improve on our craft and correct ourselves, but we are astute enough to know when public officials are seeking to gaslight us. This appeared to be the case yesterday when the Health Minister was asked by reporters to respond to the recent stunning admission from Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis that he broke quarantine on December 23rd to pay for Christmas presents. Darvill, in a feeble attempt to defend the indefensible, sought to start a whole new narrative on the matter that had no basis in facts if one were to believe previous statements made publicly by the Prime Minister himself. Darvill's account of the matter and the Prime Minister's account of the matter cannot both be accurate. They need to meet and get their story straight, Otherwise, keep quiet about it altogether, which we admit would also not be good. In listening to the minister speaking to reporters yesterday, we could only think of the phrase alternative facts, which was used infamously on January 22, 2017, by United States Counselor to the President Kellyanne Conway during a Meet the Press interview, during which time she defended White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer's false statement about the attendance numbers of Donald Trump's inauguration as President of the United States. The matter of the Prime Minister's quarantine started with a revelation Davis made in a national address on December 23rd, in which he said that his wife, Anne Marie, and other relatives had tested positive for COVID-19. Davis advised that he had taken multiple tests over days. Let me go to the jump here. And all the results came back negative. All right. Davis said, "I still need to do the reasonable thing and self-isolate according to the rules. Being apart from your family is not easy, and it is especially difficult during Christmas time." Davis made his national address virtually after he was introduced by Office of the Prime Minister Press Secretary Clint Watson, who announced around 11:30 last evening Prime Minister Davis was placed into quarantine. And this was following an exposure to COVID-19 from a close family member. As a result, the Prime Minister is working from a place of quarantine. He's in good spirits and is indeed in good health. Following all of that, Darvill, who was at the press conference where it was revealed that the Prime Minister had been placed into quarantine the night before, took reporters' questions. Lo and behold, Davis let slip last week that he, in fact, had violated quarantine. Speaking at a memorial service for the murdered husband of former Cabinet Minister Melanie Griffin on January 20th, the Prime Minister said he broke quarantine to pay for Christmas gifts at Leon Griffin's store not too long before Griffin was shot dead outside his Winton home. Responding to the controversy that arose after the Prime Minister's revelation about breaking quarantine, Progressive Liberal Party sycophants flooded radio airwaves, insisting that the controversy was much ado about nothing. The Office of the Prime Minister released a statement insisting that Davis did not violate any laws or rules. All right. It said the Prime Minister had two vaccine shots and a booster shot in addition to prior infection. He had multiple negative test results, and he was informed he posed little transmission risk, and he did not break quarantine because he was not ordered into quarantine by a medical officer. Okay? After all of this played out in the media and social media, Darvill had a totally different version of events. Responding to questions from reporters yesterday, the health minister downplayed criticism of the prime minister's decision to violate quarantine. He said, "The OPM made a statement as it relates to the situation with the prime minister. I thought it was satisfactory. There was self-quarantine. The prime minister stopped off and purchased some items and subsequently went into quarantine. They made it very clear. And so I don't think I have much more to add to that, except for the fact that he was responsible and he did finish the quarantine as indicated." Pressed on the matter, Darvill told reporters, "Between me and you, he was en route to quarantine and he stopped off and paid his bill. He was not ordered into quarantine by medical professionals at that time. Subsequently, when the medical professionals made the recommendation, he abided by the rules." Darvill insisted there was no violation of the rules. The Prime Minister got a report. He subsequently decided that en route to quarantine, he stopped off and paid a bill, and he stayed in quarantine. The medical professionals came behind and clearly indicated that he was exposed and he abided by the rules, so it has nothing to do with whether it was a civilian or the prime minister. He was en route to quarantine, self-quarantine. Now, the problem with Darvill's statement, despite Darvill being at the press conference on December 23rd, is that the Prime Minister said in the morning that he was self-isolating according to the rules. The further problem is that the Office of the Prime Minister said that he was not placed into quarantine by a medical professional, whereas Darvill says he was recommended to be in quarantine by a medical professional. The Prime Minister said he spoke to Leon Griffin and he said that he was in quarantine and shouldn't be seen out. And then he proceeded to go to Griffin's store, who had made arrangements for him to go through the side door, but Darvill is saying that he was en route to quarantine at the time that night, and that there was no issue. So Darvill's story and the Prime Minister's story do not align. I'm going to tell you a story of something that we learned as young Bahamian men quite some time ago. When I was a younger man, before I settled down into the joys of married life, I was known to frolic about the streets of New Providence at different establishments and enjoy myself quite heartily. I would do so with a number of different friends. By the time I was ready to stop my frolicking, most of my friends had already been married and settled down. I, perhaps, was a late bloomer. I was still down to go frolic whenever my friends, married or living with their significant other, wanted to go do something. I myself was not married. I felt no obligation to be home at any particular time. I felt no obligation to explain to anyone where I was, other than if I would not be coming home. I lived with my parents at the time. I would tell my parents, okay, particularly my mom after my father died, because it was just me and her. So I didn't feel any obligation to explain to anybody what I was doing or where I was, all right? And therefore, I developed a reputation among the significant others of my friends who would go out with me when I would go to frolic, all right? And I would go out to frolic to go hook up, right? Drink, hook up. That was kind of the succession of events. I developed a reputation as being someone who liked plenty of women, right? And wasn't really serious and wasn't really going to settle down. And that reputation, I'm not going to lie, was well-deserved. And so the significant others of my friends would look at me askance at times when I would go out with them, or they would say they were going out with me. Not that I ever convinced anybody to do anything that they didn't want to do or that was untoward. I had my mission and they had theirs. In any event, one particular time when I had met my current wife, who was then my girlfriend, one of my friends, who had a significant other with whom he lived, said, he needs to blow off some steam, let's go out. I said, no problem. I didn't live with my girlfriend at the time. The relationship was relatively new. I was just going out to go and see the sights, as it were. All right? I wasn't a committed relationship. I didn't plan on violating any of that. So we proceed to go out. And while we're out at an establishment, two very lovely young ladies were also at the establishment, and we all got into a conversation and had numerous drinks. Toward the end of the night, I said to myself, Juan, don't let the devil use you. You've had enough to drink. You don't know this young lady well enough to jeopardize your current relationship, just go home. So I told my friend with whom I was traveling, he picked me up, I said, I'd like to go home. He then proceeded to call me all manner of soft and other words that I won't get into on air. I said, I tell you what, I'm gonna hot foot it home, all right? So I went, got a cab, went home. That was by 11 o'clock at night. I didn't hear from my friend until the next day. Before I got a chance to hear from my friend, I heard from his significant other, who called me and said, Juan, is your friend with you? And I said, not understanding what exactly went down, I would just go with the truth. Bear in mind, I have no problem lying for one of my friends if their girlfriend or significant other asked me where they were, if they were with me, unless they were engaged in the commission of a crime. I got no problem lying. Sure, he was with me. I was with him all night. He conked out on the couch. He'll be home soon. I got no problem doing that if I know that that's what I'm supposed to do. In this instance, I didn't know, right? So she says, where's your friend? I go, I have no idea. I parted ways with him shortly before 11 o'clock last night. I haven't heard from him since. Unbeknownst to me, that was the wrongest thing on the planet that I could have possibly said at that time. So my friend then calls me about 10 minutes later and asks me what the hell did I say to his significant other. And I said to him, I told her the truth. You know what he said to me? Why would you do that? Why would you tell her I didn't go home last night? Why would you tell her that? And you know what I said to him? I said, listen to me. If I don't know what the lie's supposed to be, I'm going to go with the truth. You got to coordinate with me and tell me which lie it is that I'm telling so that our lies align. Otherwise, one of us must be lying. And if I can't keep up what the lie is, I'm going to go with the truth because it's easier for me to stick with the truth than to keep up with an ever-shifting lie. The moral of this story is, if you're going to lie, if you're going to make something up, if you're going to respond to a question that you're not sure what the answer should be, coordinate with the other person before you open your mouth. How is it that you're at the Prime Minister's press conference and he says he's currently in quarantine? You heard all this. Then you heard the Prime Minister's story at Leon Griffin's memorial that he broke quarantine to go pay for gifts hours before Leon Griffin was killed. Was it even hours? He said by the time he got home, he got the call, Leon Griffin was killed. How can you then come back and say that he was on the way to quarantine that night when he said that morning he was already in quarantine? You have not learned, and you guys are senior men, and I blame you for this. When I was a young boy, I understood this better. You guys have not learned how to properly coordinate to get the story straight. You got to do this. If we're going to have any faith in government, we got to understand that we have to have our story straight. Now, I'm not saying you should lie to the public, okay? I'm not saying that you shouldn't be honest and upfront with the public, but what I'm saying is you gotta tell the same story. And the easiest way to be on the same page, if you can't coordinate beforehand, is to just tell the truth. That's all I'm saying. So I don't understand how you guys are running a country but can't get this one story straight. So tell me which version of events is actually the real version of events. Did the Prime Minister go into quarantine when he said he went into quarantine and then left to go pay for Christmas gifts at Leon Griffin's store? Or was the Prime Minister not in quarantine, as Dr. Michael Darvill suggested, the entire time he told us he was in quarantine, and then he was en route to quarantine because medical professionals said he should be in quarantine? Or is it that what the OPM said, that he was not placed into quarantine by a medical professional? You see, the thing about this story is it's a $500 fine, and it's not the end of the spinning of the earth on its axis. You have a young woman who was just brutally murdered. Her murderer killed himself. A one-month-old child is without parents. You have three young, healthy men on Long Island dead after a traffic accident. One of those young men died in New Providence after waiting 7 hours for airlift, for medical airlift. There's also the factor in that story that medical airlift has been under a monopoly for one company in the Bahamas for several years, solidified, we understand, under the former administration, whereas people on family islands are asking to be able to provide medical airlift from family islands as opposed to waiting for planes to come from New Providence to go to family islands to bring them back to Nassau. And all of these other things that are much more weighty have occurred, but yet senior men such as yourselves cannot keep this story out of the headlines. It's amazing to me that this is the level at which we're operating. We got text messages? Sure. Let's do text messages. This says, want any update on how many teachers called in sick today? I have no idea. But shout out to all the great teachers who did show up. We love you. I hope you get more money, all this. Good afternoon, Juan. PM Davis and Minister Darvill need to quit while they're so-called ahead. And Minister should be the last one to talk about apologizing to the Bahamian people. After everything he did to screw up the country, he only apologized to FNM supporters at a post-election meeting and only for losing the election. He needs to gracefully recede into the background. It says, disappointing how the PM is going along with these ridiculous stories. The PM attends Mass every Sunday, so I'm very more disappointed. Juan, sounds like you were a bad influence. At times, perhaps, but in that particular circumstance, I was not the one at fault. But I still got in trouble. But, and let me show you how this works, right? Like, he lied on me and said I was lying because I was trying to hide something from my girlfriend. This, you see, like, they'll sell you out at a moment's notice. Like, self-preservation is the basis instinct of man, right? To save your own hide, you will sell out whoever you need to. It says, all this happens when you're not being truthful, Juan, but sure, your sins will find you out. It says, you should have taken Mother Pratt with you. She would have told you, the nice-looking young lady in the tight outfit, that Juan ain't no young fool, and Juan ain't gonna be no old fool. The devil's a liar. That's a sure get-out-of-jail-free card. It says, I take all these accounts to mean, in the new day, I will take the long way home or the long way to the clinic. Don't test, don't ask, don't tell. It says, the PM's wife was positive, and the closeness because of being husband and wife warranted quarantine. He should not have broken quarantine. He was wrong, in my opinion. They said they will be guided by the medical people, so if you expose, you should quarantine, period. It's so bizarre because Darvill's statement and the OPM statement directly contradict each other. It says, Juan, even as a story, Darvill's version is stupid. How can you stop off on the way to quarantine? The cock? You know, that's interesting, too. Does it work like that? They tell you going to quarantine? Let me just get my shopping done first. Your wife's tested positive for COVID-19 and several of her relatives at a function you were at over the weekend. You need to go into quarantine. No problem. I'm going to hit up a couple stores, do my Christmas shopping. I'm a quarantine. Coronavirus didn't spread until I actually officially go into the place of isolation where quarantine is. I'm just going to hit up some shops. And then the quarantine will start. And then the danger of Rona spreading will begin. Y'all don't have to keep having these little simple things mess y'all up. All right? Carnival, Dubai trip, yes? Whether you were in quarantine or not, a complete self-admission of breaking quarantine when that did not need to be said. We got a phone call, great. Good afternoon, welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Vaughn, what's up, my brother?
What's happening, bro?
Well, you are my government heart, but it's all good. You know how I is. I fear, and as you being a talk show host, That's how you feel.
I just wanted to line up, though. That's all I want.
Yeah, man. Well, hey, listen to me, my brother. In politics, and I keep telling people this, when you decide to be a supporter of a political party, when you have people criticizing, you can't get mad. You cannot get mad because when the people criticizing the other government, you want to join on. So, you know, that's your opinion, bro. But what I call you for, Mr. McCartney, Dr. Franklin Walking,
mm-hmm.
I think they had the contract for the air ambulance. Because I have a few friends who are certified, registered pilots, and their planes are inspected and insured. And they were denied during that time of airlifting people from different islands.
Yes.
I don't know why.
I know why. Because it was given to a single company.
Right.
But against all common sense.
Now, thank you. So, in other words, Ms. McCarty, let me ask you a question. Just say, for instance, hypothetically, we have an emergency on our island, right? Sorry about that. And you only have, I think Dr. Franklin and I have, what, two or three planes, if I could remember, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have another incident on another island. So what are you going to do? You're going to just wait on Dr. Franklin walking them, and you have certified pilots here who are known to airlift people in times of emergency and necessity. And now I have a friend. He's an excellent pilot. This fella landed, I think it was one of those islands a couple years ago, right, with no light on the airport.
Mm-hmm.
None. airlift someone back to Nassau to save that person.
Right. See, there's certain conditions that you need to be qualified for to fly in certain environments, and I understand that, so not everybody could do it. But it the best procedure would be to have a network of people who are qualified to fly at night, flying to them airports. Because, you know, Long Island Airport don't have no lights and all this other stuff like that, you know?
Because remember now, before I hang up, you have a lot of pilots, a few pilots I know who even instrumented greeted. They can't even fly in the night. So you
exactly.
You gotta make sure you have your pilots instrumented greeted, because most of the time when things happen in the night, you know what I mean? And we ain't got no lights on those airports and different things. And those guys take a real, real chances. Because some incidents with some of my friends tell me who fly, it's really serious.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Before I go on, yesterday when you were on the talks, when I called your talk show, right?
Right.
And I came by digital printing. That's downstairs from you, right?
Yeah.
To get some business cards. Mm-hmm. So apparently,
Printmaster.
I left printing company. Yeah, I came to get some business cards. Because I started a new business. And what happened, I left my dog inside the car. And when I came back to the car, Mr. Bacardi, someone who works in your studio, I mean inside the Guardian, came out too. I came to the car and the dog locked the door. Locked me out of the car with the air conditioner on the car running board. So what I had to do, I had to broke the window, but I got a window replace them. But keep up the good work, my brother. You know, like I say, right, if you have your opinion, you know what I mean, you is. We ain't no talk show friend. If you have your opinion, bro, whether you're talking about my government, I respect your opinion because you're a man.
Thank you, my brother. Right?
Have a good day, bro.
Appreciate you. It says, Juan, Long Island Airport have lights. Oh, okay. It didn't have lights last time I was there. That was a while back I was there, though. That was when Christie was prime minister. Yeah. Like the last time. That's when I was there. I never tell you a story about Long Island. When you get there, they ask you how long you're staying, which is code for when are you getting out? When are you leaving? It says, the Bahamas would suffer first before any PLP resigned or is fired. Trust your life with that. We're in for a long haul. I don't think anybody should get fired or resign for the breach of quarantine. I think that's not a proportionate response to the breach, right? The whole prime minister got to go because he didn't stay in quarantine? No, I don't think that makes sense to me. I'm just saying, get your story straight and explain to us what actually happened and just admit when you're wrong. It's okay. No one expects perfection. No one expects you to be infallible. If you do something that you shouldn't have done, just say, that's my bad. I shouldn't have done it. I'm going to seek to do better because I'm trying to lead from a place of moral authority. We got a phone call. Let's go to phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Fine, man. The good thing about the way they did it is we spend balance. And someone, even if someone was 60% like that, he'll have been a good contribution to the issue.
Well, the good thing about DeWitt is he won't try to defend something that he doesn't think is defensible.
Exactly, and that's how it's supposed to be. Even they even know how to speak sometimes, you know. See, and someone got to understand the thing. Like, right? Sometimes, someone is called Dwight so many times, and one call is called sometimes, and basically plead with Dwight to tell Dwight don't take on someone called. But your shows are calling shows. Right, but people, someone got to understand, and then sometimes it's called back, man, and even for the time. But right, I'm born. Let me tell you something, my brother. See, I keep telling you all, nothing can change this country until 2027. That Moses School, when I say the Moses School, they 24, 25, 26, they fail this country. They amend no laws, they discriminate against behemoths. We can't go casino and gamble. The behemoth people can't get bank licenses. The insurance company's killing us. The bank's killing us. The guy who's charged the central bank, are these people killing us, man, with interest rate. You borrow money from some banks and want to pay up all the bills. They say you can't do it. That's stealing. That's ripping people off. And the government job is to protect the citizen. One, we need to go a republic. See, they treat us bad because they swear that they do the queen or heirs and success. I don't remember Mr. Christie, Mr. Ingram, Dr. Minister, all the commission, please. They fail us, man. person comes to this wise, we meet people with better than more, you know. And thank God we got these smartphones and everything, and they can't hide nothing. And if you Google, a lot of information. Keep up the good work, my brother.
Okay. Last I checked, Trinidad and Tobago was a republic, and several of our banks are headquartered there, and they're the ones who approve all the rates and fees. Last I checked, one or two maybe in Jamaica, but most are in Trinidad, last I checked. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon.
How's it going?
Long Island. Tell them I ain't got no light.
It didn't have lights when I was there, but this person maybe knows better than me.
Because
we had to leave before the sun went down.
Deadman's Key may have light. I know Deadman's Key.
I thought Deadman's Key was destroyed.
But Harry Nixon, he can fly a plane to the airport with light or without light. Because last time I was in Long Island and their accident, Harry come in, they put one plane, one car to the beginning of the airport and one to the end of the runway. One to the beginning of the runway, one to the end of the runway. And Harry bring that plane down, take that passage up, and carry the cameras off.
Wow.
Harry Nixon, give it up.
Well, that's good. He's still there?
I mean,
listen
to that.
Oh, okay. You remember, like, when they had the plane crash in Mayaguana? Like, in the 2000s, we're still, like, pulling up cars to light the runway for emergency flights. And remember, they had promised they were going to put, like, solar lights on the runways and the family islands as a way to, like, have affordable lighting. Right? But I don't think that was ever done. But the fact remains that the air ambulance thing is an issue. It needs to be expanded. We got one more call, and then we go to a break. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going?
As far as air ambulance is concerned, right, it ain't just the pilot. You know, you need the medical equipment and the medical person to know it.
Yeah.
So it ain't just for the pilot, you know, especially in this day and time. I know back in the day, that was the thing where you got a pilot. And, you know, some of these pilots used to do other risky things, so he wasn't afraid to go pick up a human.
But they had them, though. They had them, you know.
They had to do it. Yeah, they had no other choice. But, I mean, nowadays, we need properly equipped aircraft with properly trained medical people.
Right. Plus, if you have insurance, they're not going to pay for someone who's not certified to do that sort of thing.
Right, you see. So we need, like you say, some of the major islands, they could arrange to have their own aircraft stationed on that particular island so that it cuts out the time and give these people a chance to survive.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and as far as the thing with the prime minister, though, you know, I don't understand, you know, they don't even talk to one another. Because I mean, Dr. Darvill, I mean, he totally surprised me what he run on with.
He come with a whole different thing. Whoa.
I said these brothers don't even talk to one another. I don't even read the newspaper. I listen to the news.
All he had to do is repeat what the OPM
said. Prime Minister say?
That's it.
That's it. Right, and say the office of the Prime Minister made a statement, and
That's it.
Because the Prime Minister is the highest authority right now. Who's their boss?
Once the PM already speak to it, I'm not speaking to it anymore.
That's the end of the story. But we need more than the pilots, you know. You got to have a good pilot, but if you don't get the proper medical equipment on the plane and the proper medical staff, that's still useless.
I agree. But they used to do it, you know. They had someone on Long Island who used to do it.
And a lot of people still died on dead on arrival when they reached.
Yeah, well, there ain't no guarantees. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you can't say that it would be a certainty that the young man would have survived
I say it's
if he came here. But
I say you have a better chance.
You have a better shot. Yeah, exactly.
Right, you have a better shot. And I thought, but in this day and time, with the equipment and all the medical equipment that's available right now, and they got a lot of portable medical equipment which could on an aircraft.
Yeah, correct.
Right now. And that's what we need.
Exactly.
Along with good pilots.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Thanks a million. We got to go to a break here. My deep condolences to the family of these three young men in Long Island. I don't know how you're doing it. I don't know how you're still walking around functioning. Couldn't be my 18-year-old son, I'd have folded up and probably just jumped in the grave with him. Or my 20-year-old son, I don't know how you're doing it. I couldn't, not to watch you grow into a grown man and then watch you die. I couldn't do it. My condolences. Let's go to a break. We'll be back.
Important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches. Fidelity, we're good
for you. Burger King Nassau is taking spice to new heights with the new Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken sandwiches. Enjoy your choice of a flame-grilled Whopper or a crispy chicken filet topped with chipotle sauce, guacamole, jalapenos, cheese, lettuce, and tomato, all on a fresh potato bun. The new Baja sandwiches at Burger King Nassau pack plenty of flavor, and with an ice-cold Pepsi and fries or onion rings, it's the perfect way to fill your day. The Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken sandwich are only available at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S.C., 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 J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Did you know it's possible to buy insurance 100% online?
Yeah, my agent had online payments a little while now.
Oh, but First Online from Bahamas First is so much more than online payments. It's the first digital insurance hub in the Bahamas that gets you covered in a click.
You mean I can skip that back and forth when I'm looking for quotes?
How about this? Get an instant car or home insurance quote from BahamasFirst.com, then buy that policy 100% online. You can even download policy documents to your secure account, too. You may have to pay a visit to your agent if you need a motor certificate for your car inspection, but that's it. You can even submit an online claim.
Get a quote, get your coverage, and make a claim. All online? That sounds like everything I need right there. What I need to click to get covered.
Visit BahamasFirst.com to access the first online insurance hub anytime and from any device. Get covered in a click. It's another first from Bahamas First.
Want to be the MVP of the party for the big game this year? Just take your favorite Frito-Lay chips, Lay's Stacks, or Tostitos and salsa to the party, and you will be the MVP and have a chance to win cash. All you have to do is purchase any large Frito-Lay chips, Tostitos, salsa, or two Lay's Stacks from participating grocery stores. Think you can throw the football? Well, come and play the throw and win game this Saturday, 1 to 3 p.m. at Extra Value, Oaks Field. Just throw the football through the uprights to win instant prizes. Frito-Lay, distributed by Island Wholesale.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much for tuning in to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. We were talking about the differing account of events with the Prime Minister's quarantine. Y'all know this happened over a month ago, right? The only reason we're still talking about this is because y'all still talking about it. I would have just stopped talking about it. Says, thanks for the insight into the bro code. Ladies, take note. You can live in one or two worlds, right? You can live in a world. You can live in the world where I live, which is where I'm completely paranoid. And I expect the worst to happen, right? Or you could live in this world, the fantasy world where a lot of you live in, where everything just works itself out. See, the world I live in, I don't ask questions I don't want to know the answers to. That's the world I live in. Ladies got a code too. Don't sleep. And they'll lie to you dry eye. A man will be like sort of twitching and, you know, shaking. When you calling people liar, you got to rephrase that statement. I ain't going to sit on there and call nobody liar. So see, if you would have told your friend's girlfriend that your boy was on the way home, then you both would have been straight, because apparently that's all that matters. I can't do it. If we don't understand what the story is, I'm just going to say my truth, what I know. Here's what I know. I left. I don't know what else happened. Maybe he went to go clear out his mom's storage shed. I don't know. 11 o'clock at night, anything's possible. This says, I agree that the former prime minister helped to screw the country up, but this New Day prime minister is doing the same thing. Or offer me, baby, they don't care about us, friends, family, and lovers. Prime Minister Davis maybe felt intimidated having to speak in the same function with former Prime Minister Perry Christie, wanted to make himself seem relevant. Well, look, and I'm going to say this to you, and I'm going to say it unabashedly. I want the current administration to do well. And that doesn't mean I have a bias toward the current administration. That just means as a Bahamian, as a right-thinking citizen of this nation, I want the government of the day to do well. Now, when I see that you're totally lost, I'm going to have to give up faith in you, but I don't see that. What I see is I want you to do well, but you're letting very small things become large things. And when you're in the wrong, I have to tell you you're in the wrong, because if I don't hold you accountable, how do I expect you to do well? Right? Do you do that with the people who work on the job that you work on? Do you supervise people and they don't do the job and you just go, well, let it ride? No. The prime minister, I respect him highly in his office. He knows that. But he works for us. And so when I see people who work for me doing something that doesn't make sense or that they could do better at, I'm going to speak to them about it. I'm a supervisor at my job. If someone I supervise is not doing their job properly, or they could do their job better, or they've done something that I don't agree with that I think is outside of the scope of what their job is, I'm going to talk to them about it. Do I kill them? Do I go, you're fired? Do I go, hey, PM, resign because you broke what? No, right? But if it's something that we need to discuss and that, you know, we could talk about how we would prefer for you to do this, then we got to talk about that. And so I would prefer that instead of making excuses, you admit, hey, I broke the quarantine. I didn't mean to. There are extenuating circumstances. I should not have done that. I could pay the fine or whatever. And then don't have your health minister come behind you and give a totally different version of events. Because when I see that you don't tell the same story, then distrust starts to creep in, right? So if your story isn't straight on this, what else is the story not straight on, right? You know how that is. You're in a relationship. Somebody lied to you. And you're like, okay, and you catch him in a lie. You're like, okay, if he lie about this, then what else he gonna lie about? That's why I don't be lying. So I just tell, to my wife, I ain't got no reason to lie. I just tell the truth. But if you're my friend, I'll lie for you if I have to, if it's going to save your relationship. All right, we got to go to a break. We'll be back on the other side. We'll talk about this and some other things. Stay tuned.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Say goodbye to the clunky, old, outdated, tiresome way of buying insurance. Get covered in a click with First Online, a new online insurance portal from Bahamas First. It's the simple way to do insurance. Visit BahamasFirst.com to get an instant quote, pay premiums, and manage your claims anytime and from any device. First for our car and home insurance customers. It's another first from Bahamas First. What's first for you comes first for us.
Want to be the MVP of the party for the big game this year? Just take your favorite Frito-Lay chips, Lay's Stacks, or Tostitos and salsa to the party, and you will be the MVP and have a chance to win cash. All you have to do is purchase any large Frito-Lay chips, Tostitos, salsa, or two Lay's Stacks from participating grocery stores. Think you can throw the football? Well, come and play the Throw and Win game this Saturday, 1 to 3 p.m. at Extra Value, Oaks Field. Just throw the football through the uprights to win instant prizes. Frito-Lay, distributed by Island Wholesale.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We were talking about the differing version of events, about the Prime Minister's quarantine. And your reactions to it. We still have your text messages to get to. You can call us, but I also wanted to talk about the Prospect Ridge development that is apparently not going anywhere, according to Minister of Housing and Transport, JoBeth Colby Davis. And I also wanted to talk about the fact that we had a young man who was driving without insurance on Christmas Day when he killed two people overtaking another car, killed the husband and wife, and gravely injured their two daughters. And the grand assessment of their life, according to current law, is $20,000. That he was fined and to have his license suspended for 5 years. Now, why you think he's going to stay off the road with a suspended license when he didn't stay off the road without insurance? Not sure why anyone would think that. But the judge in the matter who sentenced him bemoaned that the laws were not more severe for killing in the course of dangerous driving. And when we read that story, we thought back to 2020, when there was a great deal of fanfare made in the House of Assembly and the Senate about passing laws that were tougher for people who were reckless drivers. Because what you had before the law was passed was a succession of events where people, usually driving these little boxcars, would just knock people down on the street, on the side of the street, and leave them there to die as if they were so much trash. A human. You hit a human, and you don't have the regard for human life to even stop and say, maybe I gravely injured this person. What can I do to help? You don't even do that. And I know, I get it. Someone hit my car. I came in the parking lot. My car was dented and the person was gone, right? Because that's who we're becoming as a society, right? Where personal responsibility is just another thing we say to make ourselves feel better, right? So we roll over people. We don't care. We knock down children, indigents on the side of the street. We hit people's cars. We drive off. We drive without insurance. We take no personal responsibility for ourselves, because if we don't get our own personal needs satisfied, then screw the rest of society, right? It's all about me and what I need, and I don't need insurance, and I want to ride my car, and I can go kill people and pay a fine, and that's it, and rob two children of their parents on Christmas Day, and it's no big deal. It's $20,000. And guess what? He got a payment plan to pay off the $20,000, right? Because you don't want to put too much pressure on him to have to pay this $20,000 for the lives of two people. But there was a great deal of fanfare made in 2020 about the need to pass these stricter laws. And indeed, they were passed. But here's the thing about governing. You got to have some follow-through, right? So the laws were gazetted, but there was never a date to bring the laws into force. Therefore, the laws never took effect. And so this young man will pay the state, not the children of the two people he killed, he'll pay the state $20,000. And two people are dead, and two young ladies no longer have parents. And that's how serious we take these things in this country. Now, at the time, the minister responsible for road traffic was Renward Wells, who was Minister of Transport. The bill passed in the House of Assembly July 16, 2020, and in the Senate on July 20, 2020. Wells told us that, as far as he knew, the appointed day notice was gazetted. Former Attorney General Carl Bethel, when contacted, said he had no comment. All right. Wells was sworn in as Minister of Health on July 20th, 2020, following Dr. Dwayne Sands resigning from cabinet, if you remember all that bizarro nonsense. And then Dion Folks was appointed Minister of Transport and Local Government. We also, we didn't contact Folks. We weren't able to contact him. But when we contacted Minister of Transport, JoBeth Colby-Davis, she said that the current administration is going to rectify the matter. So I'd love to see that happen sooner rather than later, as opposed to the penalty for manslaughter by dangerous driving being a fine no less than $5,000 but no more than $10,000, or imprisonment for a term of 4 years or both. The penalty would have been up to 15 years in prison. But that didn't happen. And so now a young man gets to pay off in installments the price tag of $20,000 because someone at some point decided that the state was due no more than $10,000 for a human life taken in the course of dangerous, reckless driving. And that's what we do around here, isn't it? Drive recklessly, dangerously, no lights, no insurance, no license, right? People hit other people. I had one guy, and this hasn't happened to me yet, right? And I don't want it to happen to me because I think I'll react badly, right? The new thing now is where these guys driving the cars without licenses or registration, when they hit you, because a lot of times they're like high to their eyeballs, right? Or been drinking. They hit you and they threaten to kill you, right? They try to intimidate you. And that's not happened to me. And I'm praying it doesn't. Because I don't know in the moment that my reaction will be a positive one or a calm one. I have a problem with that. I try to stay away from situations like that because I often have a problem with my temper at times, right? Especially when someone, see, and a lot of people think this is a joke out here on the road, right? So if you tell me you're going to kill me, I take you seriously. And I've had more than one person say that's happened to them. These guys hit them and be like, if you call the police, I'll kill you. You want me to kill you, eh? You want me to shot you, eh? Right? So, and they usually do that to older people or they do it to women to freak them out. One man I know said someone did that to him. And he was like, who are you trying to scare? He called the police. The police came. And it turns out that the guy who hit him, who threatened to kill him, was on the way to court for his murder trial. Right? So that's where we live. In any event, Joe Beth Colby Davis said that they're going to rectify it. And that Ryan Pinder is going to make it happen, so they put in stronger laws for people who were killed in the course of dangerous driving. But now these people are dead, and their lives are worth $20,000 paid off in installments by a young man who just didn't give a crap. That had no insurance, no nothing. And you're supposed to just sit there as a citizen in society and go, no problem. That's what justice looks like. That's what the law of our land looks like. Good times. All right. You got a phone call? Let's go to phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hey, how's it going?
I'm right here. We need justice, law, and order in this country. You know, around about 10 o'clock last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was banging on my doorbell. And when I went to the door, they told they called a different name, but the person whose name they had called, it wasn't them. But I know the voice of the person, you know, he of some violent people around here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he just continued banging on my doorbell, and saying he is this person. I called the police, right? And if the police came, man, they came probably hours later, because I didn't worry about him banging because I already know it wasn't the person that he said he was, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I went back in my bed, and I fell off to sleep. But my point is, as long as I was waiting on the police, they should have came. Because guess what? If I had put something hot outside my front door, they would have locked me up. And it ain't right. You see what I'm saying? It ain't right. You know what I mean?
I got you. Okay, I gotcha. Be careful out there. There's a dude called Spider-Man. That's Spider-Man. It's not funny. Look at this guy. It's funny looking at the mugshot. If I saw this dude in my window, that'd freak me out. Anyway, there's a dude called Spider-Man who recently was released from prison, and he's allegedly breaking into homes in Western New Providence, particularly balconies. So watch out for Spider-Man. Again, I walk through the world super paranoid, man. So I sleep real light. You know what I mean? If I see you at my door in the middle of the night, like, I ain't trying to ask too much questions. Like, if you lost or your cat ran into the yard or nothing like this, I just figure you're there to kill me. And I respond accordingly. That's one, number one, two, three, right? You're there to kill me. You're there to rape my family, right? This is it. You're part of a satanic cult and you want to perform human sacrifice and you decided these guys, they look like they'd make a good offering up to the Dark Lord. Okay. Let's do some questions. Yeah. So and someone pointed this out to me, and I'm asking you this, right? So first of all, Paul Roll says now that they were looking for Fenron Ferguson, the guy who killed his girlfriend. I feel no weight about saying he killed his girlfriend. It's not like there's a pending criminal case that we can jeopardize. So he killed his girlfriend. Yeah. Okay. Fenron Ferguson. Paul Roll says they were looking for him. Now, listen, I'm not a police officer. I don't know how it works. I ain't trying to fight crime and patrol the streets, so I don't mean to question Paul Roll too tough on how he goes about doing his job. But if you could put out this bulletin for this goofy-looking dude they call Spider-Man, who supposedly is creeping up on people's balcony. Is that why they call him Spider-Man? Because he's on the balcony? Anyway, if you could put out a... Look at this guy, right? And they would have booked this guy because he was charged before, apparently. So if you could put out a wanted bulletin for this dude, I'm trying to understand the look. You see this mustache? That doesn't just happen by accident. There had to be a plan, right? To actually, you gotta neglect everything else and just make sure the mustache is happening. I know this. I've done it before. I call it my Hawaii 5-0 stash. Some people refer to it as a porn stash. I think that's vulgar. I don't. Anyway, if you could put out a wanted bulletin for Spider-Man, right? Then how come you couldn't put out a wanted bullet for wanted bulletin for Fenron Ferguson? You say you was looking for him. Who knew that? Like, just a few of y'all? Why wouldn't you put out a wanted bulletin to say you believe this guy's armed and dangerous and you're looking for him for questioning? You do it with everybody else, right? I don't understand. And he seems to be saying something different than Wayne Monroe, who says that she didn't make a formal complaint, but Paul Roll's saying that there was a formal complaint. So I don't know which is which. All right, I'm not blaming the police. All right, there are many factors that go into these things. I don't know all the answers, as I've said, for successive days. But if you could put out a bulletin for Spider-Man, then why can't you put out a bulletin for Fenron Ferguson? Is my question. In the event, let's go to the text line. This says a lot of text. This says, Cat Island does not have lights at the airport. I wouldn't imagine so. Well, I don't know who looks worse, Dr. Darvill's blunder or the police with the young lady's death. Obviously, they're reading the same book, but in different chapters. Yeah, again, I'm not blaming the police, but I'm saying if you say you were looking for him, then why didn't you put out a bulletin for him like you did for Spider-Man? It says, yeah, McCartney, the sad part is that the PM and Darvill can't get it together about something as small as quarantining. What do you think they will do when the big stuff happens? You tell me. It says, regarding airlift, I cannot understand how Bahamians can be okay with Family Island residents having to wait for a plane to fly from Nassau. They should be able to charter or have some protocol to fly from the island to Nassau, etc. We have to do better, and my sympathies to the family, because it would anger and hurt me to have doctors tell me my child would have survived had he arrived sooner. I didn't read that, where doctors said he would have survived. Here's what I know, right? And I'm not in this situation. Again, if it were my child, I don't know that I'll still be walking and talking around here. This is after what happened in Mayaguano. He's still using cars to light the way for planes. Yeah, apparently so. Here's what I know, right? You are going to be confronted with situations in your life that you can't explain, and the outcomes are going to be bad, and you're going to forever question what could have been done differently to have a better outcome. Forever. And you'll never know, right? So my father died of cancer within 4 months of being diagnosed with having cancer, right? And they told him, come to the hospital. They were going to run some tests. They were going to do some things. They'd do some procedures. So my father stayed in the hospital for 2 weeks. Shout out to PMH. They treated him great, right? He stayed in the hospital for 2 weeks. They ran some tests. Then they just said, well, we'll let you know when we can do the procedure, right? And my father went home and he died, okay? Weeks later. Now, I thought for a long time that, well, I wish the only doctor who was honest with me was Eugene Marcus Cooper, right, from Jump. And I thought, and he, from when he diagnosed my father with cancer, he said, this isn't looking good. The chances are very slim, right? And, you know, when something happens like that, someone tells you you have cancer or your family member has cancer, you're just erring on the side of hope, really. He had stage 4 cancer, right? So you're erring on the side of hope. And Marcus, whom I've known all my life, he was very upfront with me about it, right? And but the other doctors kept going, we'll see what we can do. We'll see what we can do. We'll see what we can do. And when my father died, I felt like anger at the doctors, because if you knew he was probably going to die, you should have just said that. And my whole mindset and approach to it would have been different. And I was angry for a while, and I had to come to the realization that it wasn't the doctor's fault, right? That they didn't say the right thing, that they couldn't help him, that they couldn't perform miracles. It's not their fault. But you will forever question, like, what could have happened. So your son dies on Long Island or in New Providence after waiting hours in Long Island, and you're clinging to this little wisp of hope that if I can get him to Nassau, he could live, even though the other two guys died. You're clinging to that hope. And then when someone dashes that little area of hope that you have, it just breaks your heart. And you feel as though, you know, that was the only avenue of hope I had, and you screwed me. And you start to figure that other people played a role in that happening as well. Hey, Juan, now you see why Clint wanted to implement those communist policies to the media, but you're to email them with questions first. They wanted to stop the I gotcha moments, because Lord knows these politicians aren't honest. I'm glad Guardian didn't bow to Clint tactics. Keep up. Again, I don't understand what the whole press credential thing was about. If you go to the office of the Prime Minister today, you're not getting 10 feet from the front door without going through the Royal Bahamas Defense Force after you go through the administrative person at the desk at the door of the office of the Prime Minister. And you got to sign in both places. So I don't see what it was about, right? If I just flash the ID and go, hey, man. Juan, I blame you. You never leave your brother when you go out, no matter what. Me? No, sir. I go home. It says, Juan, while in the Senate, Darvill was proven to be a storyteller at times. He even told stories about the carnival and tests. Now he's telling stories about the quarantine. Why are we even surprised about Darvill's storytelling? This is good afternoon, McCartney. On some keys here in Abaco, they still wait at the docks morning and evening to make sure those who arrive leave on the last ferry. Also, I supported the government last election. Please let them know we're not stupid. Either Mr. Darvill is telling the truth or the PM is. Thank you, sir. This is Juan. The family lines don't have any trauma or emergency care. My dad had a stroke and waited 4 hours for an air ambulance in Eleuthera that never came. He died as a result of bleeding to the brain that was not stopped in time. And does Bimini even have a doctor on the island yet? Yeah, that's a tricky situation. Very, very much so, particularly in an archipelago. And the best solution or scenario that I could see would be to have, like, satellite air ambulance operators. At least one person on the island. Like, so you have an island that's as big as Long Island, as Long Island. One in the north, one in the south, right? And Deadman's in the south, right? Or Deadman's north or south? I'm from Eleuthera. I'm not. Okay, Deadman's in the south, right? That's what I thought. So you have one in the south, one in the north, but Deadman's didn't really have a terminal. So you got to figure out a way to get them to New Providence as soon as possible. Because the reality is you can't put a hospital on every island. It's just not economically feasible. So just one, I agree. Lying is just too much work. Yeah. That's what I figured out. I used to lie all the time, right? And then I was like, why am I, like, keeping track of lies? Let me just tell the truth one time. With women, right? I would lie to women. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
I'm doing one. How are you doing?
I'm great. How's it going?
Radio Man. As far as that unfortunate incident, they were family members of mine as well.
No, I'm so sorry.
Long Island. I've been saying for quite some time, you know, my cow is an area that should have a major facility there that would take care of the southern Bahamas. And then anything that goes beyond the extraordinary, then you make preparations to move them to Nassau or Grand Bahama. But I believe the ideal place would have been Long Island, where it would have taken care of Acklands, Crooked Island, Long Key, Miguana, and Inagua. And because it's up in that cluster. And it really is baffling to see that we are still here in the 21st, 22nd century. We're still talking about proper hospitals and infrastructure like that's world and archipelago, that this problem has been among us from time immemorial. I think it's about time that we really get serious about our education system, our hospitals, teachers, police officers, doctors, nurses, and so on and so forth. And let's try to get our country to the place where we would really like to see a progressive country really, really should be at this particular time. And I thank you for taking my call once again. And, you know, Bahamas, be safe out there and have a great day.
All right. Thanks, man. It says a woman Defense Force officer killed two people on Marathon Road while they were on the sidewalk and she was texting, paid less than 20 grand. Now she has a food van. Food van? Yep. And, you know, accidents happen, you know. But my issue is this. What I see frequently happen is that people just drive off. They want no accountability. How do you kill someone? How do you knock someone down, kill them, and just go on? And, like, which part of your humanity has been disconnected to where you can just go, hey, didn't really happen. Didn't really matter. I took a life. Their family doesn't know what happened. Their children, whoever, right? Says, Juan, I'll focus on a topic nearest to my heart. I grew up with the father that was killed by that driver. Two kids may have lingering effects of that accident for the rest of their parents' lives. Have you ever been injured in an accident? This is not a real place. Yes, I've been severely injured in an accident. I almost bought the farm. Hey, Juan, I bet the laws will be brought into force right after some VIP cases pass through the court. Also, Brave, point Darvill Whistle, but you're still looking in the wrong direction. It says, May 5th, a young guy jumped the Meridian driving a Paso, went airborne, landed in front of me, totally destroyed my car, and put me in the hospital. He had no license, no insurance, and car was unlicensed. Police just let him walk away. I'm out $5,000 for the car and $11,000 in hospital bills. Yeah, that's terrible. I'm so sorry. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
A very pleasant good afternoon, Juan. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking, man. Juan, I have a question.
Sure.
The boat, the pictures and stories circulating as it relates to that capsized vessel between the northern Bahamas and was it Fort Pierce?
Was it what?
Fort Pierce?
Yeah, Florida. Yeah,
yeah, okay.
From Bimini, yeah, okay. Right, yeah.
So here's the thing. We've had a couple of instances in recent times where migrants are trying to access the United States illegally, based on the reporting anyway. Does our Ministry of National Security intend to take some proactive action before the U.S. issues some advisory or some other drastic measure that sheds a negative light on the human smuggling that's so prevalent in the country? I haven't heard that addressed at all. And with this recent story, I know that the Coast Guard took the lead on the operation. But it appears that human smuggling into South Florida from the northern Bahamas is a challenge. And it's mentioned in numerous outlets in the United States. But we're not saying anything about it. But many of these trips originate in our country. And I was curious if you heard anything about the Defense Force or the Ministry of National Security specifically addressing that before the U.S. does.
I haven't heard about, and in this case, I haven't heard that. I just heard the U.S. Coast Guard saying it was a smuggling operation coming from the Bahamas, straight up. So I guess about 30 people are missing. I'm not sure what their nationalities are. If they're Bahamian or if they're other nationalities, I'm not sure.
All right. I was just curious, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Though we have a serious smuggling, human trafficking smuggling problem going on here, straight up the chain, right? From South America, straight through like Jamaica, Haiti, right? Bahamas to the U.S., Cuba to the U.S. It goes, they have Chinese who come, you know, from all over. Let's go another phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, good afternoon. What are you doing?
Hey, I'm great. How's it going?
I'm doing fine, thank you. A couple of comments on some of the topics that you're discussing. One, I believe that in order for there to be a serious level of focus, which is absolutely needed, placed on upgrading our laws, I'm hopeful that at some point, someone with the will and the legal profession would challenge governments who knowingly leave and willfully leave inadequate laws on the books and is able to successfully win over in the courts against the government for leaving and willfully leaving inadequate laws on the books. And I believe once that level of activity takes place at the judicial level, whether it be the Supreme Court or whether it be the Privy Council, I believe that governments, every government, would be very quick to ensure that during its term, it reviews the laws consistently, reviews its policies consistently, and upgrades them all, because it is absolutely necessary for the smooth and effective and efficient running of a modern-day society. Also, one, you can hear me clearly?
I can. I'm trying to process what you just said. It sounds like you're saying that you want the courts to determine what legislation is punitive enough?
No. I would like, for instance, to give you a live example. We know that the laws relating to vehicular homicide were antiquated, right?
Right.
We know that we have had several instances where motorists were killed by vehicular traffic, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it led to the former administration seeking to take the position that it will review the law and update the law, mm-hmm. right? However, after all of that noise in the market, it still did not do what was necessary to be done, okay? And so there lies the perfect opportunity for someone from the legal profession to challenge the government and to seek to hold the government fully accountable for willfully leaving those inadequate laws on the books, recognizing what it is doing to families in the aftermath of vehicular homicides in our country. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, but I don't think it works that way. If you notice with the most recent court case, the judge went on and on about how the penalty should be tougher, but the judge doesn't have any power to force the government to pass any legislation that is tougher.
Right. However,
under any court action or anything.
However, one, on the flip side, there's never been a challenge brought to hold the government accountable for willfully leaving inadequate laws on the books. That's what I'm saying.
But how is the court, you understand the independence of the separation of powers, right?
Fully.
So how is the court supposed to compel legislators through some sort of punishment to change legislation?
Because it is exactly the legislator's job and duty to ensure that the legislation is passed for the smooth, efficient, and effective operation of our country. One,
but that's not the
part. That's a part of the legislative.
That's not a function of the courts, though.
However, one, the courts can hold, and the courts have held the government accountable where they have been lacking. Many instances are on the books with such cases exist. Okay, mine's included. Okay, one, but nonetheless, and my next point that I wanted to speak to.
I've seen where courts have said that governments need to amend legislation. I've seen that. I'm uncomfortable with it. I've seen the Privy Council do it. And yeah, go ahead.
But one, I mean, I'm trying to point on that point, and then I want to move to my next point. Look, all I'm saying to you, one, is the courts have never been approached to take on that level of consideration. Therefore, they can only, in the interim, speak to what exists. But if someone has the tenacity and the ability and the financial wherewithal to approach the courts, I'm certain that would be revolutionary in our country, because any government that comes into office will be quick to ensure that they review policies and legislation in particular for the smooth, efficient, and effective operation of our country, one, so that we can operate in a modern society. But nonetheless, the next point, the final point that I wanted to touch to, one, is I believe the last time we spoke, I expressed to you that I encourage you to call out the government where there is any appearance of lack or where the government is found wanting. Correct, one?
Okay.
I am of that belief and I am of that thinking. Always was. The problem with a lot of your callers or texters into your show is their level of belief, their level of information does not meet the bar of facts, does not meet the standard of facts. And they want you to support them in their deficient point of view, which I will never do, okay? However, if there's a situation that's indefensible, I will never open my mouth to try and defend it, ever. But if there's facts that exist that is not being shared in the consideration of the conversation, I will bear those facts on the conversation to demonstrate why I do not support a deficient perspective or a deficient point of view. So I will never defend, or I will never try to stand up and defend wrong.
Okay, I gotcha. I'm going to say this. Yes, legislators should be held accountable for not passing legislation that the public believes is more in line with current norms and fits the severity of the crimes that have been committed. But that's not for courts to compel them to do. Again, they work for us. That's for us to compel them to do. That level of judicial activism, I'm not comfortable with. All right? They're held to account by the public who vote for them. Courts don't play a role in that, as far as I can see. All right, we got to go to a break. We'll be back. Thank you.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
There's only one way to have a better morning. Start your mornings the best way with our two for $6 breakfast sandwiches at Wendy's. For a limited time, choose any two of your favorite breakfast sandwiches, including the fresh crack and sack muffin, honey buttermilk chicken biscuit, double sausage muffin, or the sausage egg and cheese biscuit. Wash it all down with our cold brew shake or coffee. Better mornings always start at Wendy's. Wendy's, different inside and out. Excludes airport locations.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. McCartney. His test message says, I think your caller wants government to be held to account for not finalizing the driving offenses, amendments, and other laws. I think that's exactly what he wants. He says, where he's mistaken is that judges can't force it, neither can an advocate with a legal background. The Bahamian people have to want it, be willing to fight for it. Maybe the caller should start a petition and get signatures, power, and numbers. Exactly. So, for instance, if I believe that there should be a marital rape law, I can't go sue the government and say, well, a court should determine there should be a marital rape law, and if legislators aren't willing to pass that, then the court should penalize them. It doesn't work like that, right? I need to address the people who make the laws. So if I want the marital rape law or not, I got to talk to the people who actually make the laws, right? It's like they say, I hear this a lot, the government should bring back hanging, right? Okay, fair enough. Government should bring back hanging. I don't know that that's going to do a lot other than satisfy a lot of people who feel as though their loved ones have been unfortunately taken away, which if my loved one's unfortunately taken away, I got no problem with them hanging you. That's just me, right? But you say that as if we don't already have the death penalty on the books. It's clearly defined as to what it is. This has been litigated over and over and over for decades up to the Privy Council. Now, if you want to get rid of the Privy Council, we could have that discussion. But it's not the lawmakers who are preventing people from being hanged, all right? It's not their fault. So I don't understand how that becomes on them. The death penalty's on the books. There's clear guidelines because it's been litigated over and over as to what constitutes the death penalty. The judges make up their minds as to what the death penalty should be. In fact, there was a recent case that Carolita Bethel presided over before she went to the Court of Appeal in the Supreme Court that I thought quite neatly fit the definition of worst of the worst. And they could add the death penalty, but she didn't impose it. And sometimes you know what judges do too? They won't admit this out loud, but judges do their activism as insofar as they can. So the judge will say, I'm going to sentence you to 40 years in prison, right? Because your 40-year prison sentence is much less likely to get overturned and looked at with less scrutiny than a sentence of death. Says, why do we not equip the hospital at Exuma as a trauma facility for the southern Bahamas? Yeah, they talked about that a lot. Chester Cooper's talked a lot about that. Says, Juan, you're a royal nut, lying to women all the time in the past. I'm the only one who's ever lied. Not you? No, you'd never lied to you. I see. All right. We've been on the campaign trail together, you know. Let's not... You sure? Okay. It says, are there helipads at our hospital? People should be able to go straight to the hospital. You'd need helicopters for helipads, though. So, you can put them there. This says, one, I want you to understand what will be taken from your show. Women will only remember the story you gave on air. Going forward, men will be fully questioned and interrogated, all because you told your story about your friend. The secret is out. You have sinned. Because women don't lie to men. That's never happened. They're perfect creatures. It says, wait, so the virus was on hold until the PM bought his gifts? That makes no sense. If you're found to be in contact, you're going to quarantine right away. I'm sure the PM went elsewhere. We need investigative and journalism in the Bahamas, not just reporters relaying the news. I don't think you understand what happened, okay? Michael Darvill is a medical doctor. He's a scientist. And he's saying that it was okay to stop off and buy gifts before you go into quarantine, after the doctor said go into quarantine. So it doesn't sound to me like you're trusting the science. This is one. If one of the top salesmen at GM, if one is the top salesman at GM, does that mean the salesman is now capable of running GM? Likewise, if an individual is a doctor, that does not mean he's capable of running the Ministry of Health. Listen, I like some of the actions Darvill has taken, very much so. He got some more doctors. He got a gang more nurses from Cuba, all right? He's outfitting the nurses training college, all right? They're sourcing field tents. He hasn't gotten the vaccines for kids under 12, but I wasn't giving my kids any vaccine anyway. Not the Pfizer thing they got going on. But I like some of the actions that he's taken. So I'm not saying he's not capable. I'm just saying I don't see how y'all are tripping over each other over this one thing. This says, hi, Juan. What was the punishment for the young man that accidentally caused the death of the ladies in the march 2 or so years ago? I'm thinking that he got much stiffer penalties, correct? Why would he get the book thrown at him and the others get a slap on the wrist? You know, I can't recall off the top of the head what those penalties were. It says, Juan, but to mention the Bahamas in the news regarding smuggling reflects badly on our country. We do not agree with illegal migration or smuggling, and we need good PR in the media on this menacing problem. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. They caught the guy hanging on to a boat or something, and he said, I came with almost 40 other people from the Bahamas. Good day, Juan. I'm dealing with a restaurant in Arawak Key. The person in the building was evicted by the court. Would the minister or prime minister be able to overrule the judge's ruling? No, that's... I'm not trying to clown you, right? But one day, we have to have, like, a basic civics lesson on air as to how the government actually works. All right? So the prime minister doesn't tell judges what to do. doesn't get to overrule judges in matters such as these. All right, that doesn't happen. The minister either. All right, they're bound by the courts. And even though you sometimes think, well, the courts are efficient, the courts suck, they take a long time, the courts are there to protect you, all right, from those very actions that the minister can do whatever he wants or the prime minister can do whatever he wants. The courts are there to keep them in check. One, what Anton seems to be suggesting in his recent call was that some lawyer should sue the government for leaving an incomplete law on the books relating to killing in the course of dangerous driving. Well, since the FNM is no longer in power, who does he suggest is sued? His beloved PLP government? This guy. This says, one, it is the lawmakers. The Privy Council said to our government, out into law, what is the worst of the worst? Please read the law. Our government needs to put into the law what is the worst of the worst to be hanged. Our government has put into law, though, what is the worst of the worst. It's been well documented. Like, it's in the penal code right now. All right. We got to wrap up here in a moment. This says, with the number of traffic fatalities over the years related to pedestrian fatalities, one would think that our politicians we elected to the House would have closed this loophole post-haste. It appears that we're still not understanding of the chief responsibility of being a member of Parliament. To clarify, it is not attending soirees, weddings, church services, funerals, and the like. Just get on with passing and amending legislation for good governance. I'm going to tell you what it sounds like to me with the Road Traffic Act laws that weren't brought into force. It sounds like they just forgot about it. It sounds like they gazetted it, didn't properly take the last step, and it just got lost in the hustle and bustle of multiple emergency orders. Remember July was when we had the four-phase opening? We had the big graphic, right? Color-coded with the different phases that we're going to open up. So to me, they probably got busy, you know, drafting emergency orders and forgot about something as simple as enacting these road traffic laws. It says, I know we have a different system than the USA, but separation of powers exists there as well. How is a president able to pardon any individual sentenced by the courts? We have a similar thing here, right? So the governor general can issue pardons, offer clemency, commute sentences, X, Y, Z. Also, the Committee of the Prerogative of Mercy, I don't know why it has such a complex name, but the Committee of the Prerogative of Mercy can also, which is constituted by government statute, can also excavate certain crimes from your record, okay? But we have very clear separation of powers, all right, in our Constitution. It's crystal clear, all right? And they're there to protect the institutions. It says, on a different topic, can you explain why the very idea of suggesting that women need to pick better partners is met with so much outrage, but telling boys to choose their friends carefully is okay? Why is it that women are being held accountable for their choices wrong in our society since they suffer for their choice? Well, listen, I understand exactly what you're saying. When you say that, women who have already suffered abuse and have lived the consequences of their choices and the actions of others on them, they feel as though they're being blamed for their circumstances. Okay? Now, again, to avoid all of this, and people go, well, you got to teach the boys all the time. Yeah, I no doubt. Teach boys how to act. Also teach girls how to act and teach girls what treatment is acceptable. And you could do whatever you want in your household, with your family, with me, in my family, I teach them nobody's hitting each other, all right? We don't hit each other, and it's not acceptable to hit each other or to accept being hit. If someone hits you, come and tell me, and we'll work it out, all right? But you can do whatever you want, but I understand why some women feel as though you're blaming them for their choices, but as an independent being, right, you're a woman, you're still going to have to make certain choices in your life. Because to say to me that everything that happens to somebody is outside of the realm of their personal choices robs that person of their own agency as a human being and pretty much infantilizes and objectifies that person to say that they're powerless to control certain things in their life by relationships they enter into and what behavior is acceptable or not. That's how I see it. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not perfect. It's just what it is. I'll try to get through a couple of these before we go. Juan, there was no bulletin for Ferguson because that is Miami Street. Spider-Man was caught out west. It says why? Because Spider-Man was in the west. Ferguson was only in the bottom wreaking havoc. It says, well, the couple, we gotta go. It says, Juan, what about the time it takes for matters to be heard, the matter that happened in December with the killing of the husband and wife versus the three killed during the Labor Day March? Well, the guy in the husband and wife matter pleaded guilty, so that saves a lot of time. There's no trial, right? He just pleads guilty. The defense attorney suggests a sentence. The prosecutor suggests a sentence. The judge deliberates, and it goes from there. Save a lot more time if everyone pleaded guilty. But not everyone is guilty. All right, that's going to do it for the show today. We'll be back tomorrow, and we'll talk on some other issues. I got some things in mind, and we'll go through that then. You guys take care out there, and have a great day, Bahamas.